SP, also Mr. Engelman's. So you can come right back.
May it please the court, Michael Engelman on behalf of petitioners. On this proceeding, we have three specific issues related to compliance with Order 1000. So this is a compliance filing where MISO said, this is our effort to comply at Order 1000. It took four of those efforts to get there. But our issue is that on several of these items, it in fact didn't comply with Order 1000. And because this is as important an issue as any of the other ones, I want to start with the Entergy matter because I think it's fairly brief, but it's just as important as the rest. Because what FERC's decision did was take a four-state Entergy region and make it into a local region so that all projects in there are so that projects in there would not be competed in that four-state region. What they said is the combined retail distribution service territories of Entergy together constitute a single footprint. In paragraph 420 of Order 1000...
What's a single footprint?
A footprint is defined. I was actually going to read paragraph 420. Paragraph 420, excuse me, of Order 1000A. Paragraph 420, the commission defined footprint, and it said it refers to the territory of a transmission-only company. And it specifically said the phrase retail distribution, as used in the definition, does not modify footprint. Footprint is used to refer to a transmission-only company. Entergy is not a transmission-only company. This new definition of footprint is inconsistent with Order 1000A and their rule, and it can't withstand.
No, wait, so what's the significance of a footprint?
A footprint...
So your footprint is this four states, is that what you're saying?
Entergy's footprint...
Entergy.
Yes, Entergy. They said their footprint would be four states.
And what do you agree with that?
No, what we're saying is Order 1000 specifically says that Entergy must be four different retail distribution service territories because it's not a transmission-only company. And footprint only applies to transmission-only companies. The reason they had footprint in there because not all companies have a retail distribution service territory. There are vertically integrated companies that have retail customers. There are other transmission-only companies that just own transmission, so they need a footprint. MISO has a footprint.
What do you
it's
mean
the entire
they need
15 states.
What do you mean they need a footprint?
Well, they needed to have some way of defining what their territory was for local purposes, for defining what is a local project. And so if you don't have a retail distribution service territory, FERC was looking for something to define what its area was for determining what is local. And they said a footprint refers to a transmission-only company that doesn't have retail customers. And that's not Entergy.
Well, I don't understand.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What's the point of it? What is the point of the footprint? So if you just do transmission, then your entire territory is your footprint? Is that right?
Yes. It goes back to
what's the point of that?
It goes back to what we were talking about in the last case. Transmission owners under Order 1000 are allowed to retain a right of first refusal for projects that they build in their footprint, where the costs are only allocated to their footprint. It actually refers to the retail distribution service territory.
So Entergy has a right of first refusal to build transmission facilities in those four states?
And so in our reading of Order 1000, they would have an individual right in their retail distribution service territory in Arkansas, an individual right in Mississippi, an individual right in Louisiana, and an individual right in Texas.
I thought the footprint was all four states.
The footprint is all four states, and that's what FERC decided, that Entergy could use a footprint, even though it doesn't fit the definition of footprint. And so that's our disagreement with the decision.
Well, what turns on this? I don't get it.
It turns on the way FERC itself described what a footprint meant.
Forget FERC. What is the point? What difference does it make whether these are four territories or one territory?
It makes a difference on whether or not there's competition, because if there's a right of first refusal in a local territory, there's no competition. So it would take the entire Entergy region, the entire southern region of MISO, and say that's not subject to competition if the project is local. And most Entergy projects are going to be in that footprint. And so it takes them out of competition. So my client can't compete in that four-state region. So that's the issue. And it's a misreading of the term footprint as FERC itself defined it. It's not that we're trying to change their definition. They defined it.
Mm-hmm. Strangleman, can I ask you to shift gears a little bit and talk about eminent domain, which comes up in some of these discussions? If your company wins one of these competitions to build a new line, do you have the right to exercise eminent domain?
It depends on the state, Your Honor. Each state has different laws on eminent domain. Mm-hmm. In many states, once you become a public utility, you're entitled to use eminent domain.
Well, I want to raise that in constitutional terms, because the premise of public utilities using eminent domain for centuries has been a right of public access, right? That's why it's public use. And in this brave new world of competition in what had long been thought to be natural monopolies, the notion of public use gets a lot more attenuated. So I just want to flag that and wonder how that plays out. For example, if the incumbent company already has a corridor for laying lines, and you win the bid to build the new line, and then you get to go take a bunch of people's property to build a competing parallel line. Is that the way that works?
It depends on the state. It could. It also could be that eminent domain could apply to the unused right of way. So New York simply just said that if you win a competitive process, you can use the unused right of way of an incumbent because the ratepayers have paid for it.
Okay, so that might be one use. Well, I just want to flag the issue in terms of, because the exercise of eminent domain to provide for competing facilities winds up being very troubling to me.
It's right up there with what Judge Easterbrook said about cost allocation. It's mm-hmm. an area ripe for litigation, mm-hmm. and building transmission lines these days is not easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Now, on the issue of the evaluation,
the four states, the footprint. So, would each of these states, in your view, would each of these states be could they be described as local areas, or is it much smaller than that, or what?
Yes, it'd be a retail distribution service territory. So they're each defined.
Each state would be that, or what?
Entergy's region in each state. A retail distribution service territory is defined by the service territory.
So how many local areas are there in these four states?
For MISO purposes, four, because Entergy has four retail distribution service territories. They used to have five in Louisiana, but they combined. So I want to switch over to the evaluation criteria. And our issue with the evaluation criteria is there's simply no evidence, and certainly no substantial evidence, that the evaluation criteria relates to rates. Order 1000 was premised on its impact on ratepayers. And in the first case, there were some questions about how directly it relates to ratepayers. There's no connection between the evaluation criteria that MISO has proposed and that the Commission approved and rates.
Are you arguing there's no jurisdiction?
What we're arguing is that the Commission exceeded its jurisdiction.
Does the Commission have jurisdiction to worry about reliability?
It does.
Okay.
And in fact, NERC reports, I mentioned NERC earlier, the mm-hmm. Reliability Council, it reports to FERC.
And
these aren't reliability concerns, though.
Well, I had thought some of the factors you're objecting to were consideration of the various bidders' ability to maintain and operate the systems and the facilities that they build.
Our objection to it is it has no connection to rates.
Are you saying it is beyond FERC's jurisdiction to worry about those issues?
What we're saying is
and to that, say that MISO needs to may take them into account.
What we're saying is yes, in unless they can tie it to rates, it is beyond FERC's jurisdiction to do that. And in this case, there's no tie to rates.
I frankly find that mind-boggling. The idea that FERC would be prohibited from building reliability concerns into the analysis of these massive high voltage projects that are so important to the nation is very troubling.
Let me rephrase. FERC can build in reliability concerns, and they do that through NERC. We're already required. All bidders are required to meet all NERC criteria.
So that's the only way that they're allowed to do it?
That's the primary way they do it with respect to all of the incumbent utilities already in existence. They regulate reliability through NERC. They don't go in and tell one of MISO's individual transmission companies how they're going to do their right-of-way, how they're going to do their maintenance. There's not a single case that I'm aware of, and they certainly haven't cited any, where FERC went out and said, this is how we're going to treat spare parts. This is how we're going to treat your ability to do maintenance. We're going to insist that you have 14 people in your maintenance department. FERC doesn't do that. What FERC does is it has reliability criteria that we as a bidder would be required to meet, and then it also looks at the rates. And it reviews the rates as to whether it was a prudent expenditure after the fact. So if I go out and have a maintenance department that has 10,000 people, and so I'm the most reliable one in the world, FERC can come back and say that was a little too much. But what they can't say is don't hire 10,000 people. And what these criteria look at is it simply lists a bunch of factors. And the factors say things such as project management, route and site evaluation, land acquisition. FERC doesn't regulate those things. It never has.
Wait, I've lost the thread. You want to enter this four-state area, right? You want to build things.
Yes.
Transmission facilities. This isn't the reliability business, is it? Isn't that baseline reliability?
Well, at this moment, no. It's market efficiency or multi-value because that's the only things that are open.
You say that Entergy has four facilities or four, I don't know, enterprises in these four, one in each state, right? Now, but doesn't that give them a right of first refusal in each state? If each state is considered the local area, then they have a right of first refusal?
It would give them a right of first refusal in that state if the costs are going to be allocated to that state. It wouldn't give them a right of first refusal to build a project between Louisiana and Mississippi. But under FERC's analysis, they would, because FERC said...
Well, how would that affect you, whether they can just... have a right of first refusal for facility in one state or whether they can cross between states?
For me, if it was a two-state and we were looking at just their retail distribution service territory, that two-state project would be subject to competition and I could compete for it. That's how it affects my client. So every time there's a right of first refusal, it means we can't compete. The broader it gets, the less competition there are. FERC here broadened it beyond what they said in their order was appropriate, and so that's our rub.
So you're saying that you could build a two-state project because that would be regional, that wouldn't be a single local area. Is that what you're saying?
Under the definition of...
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I would like to touch briefly on the state right of first refusal issue and be clear what our issue is with that. The issue is that MISO is taking the position that they will determine what state law is and rule on it and then exclude projects from competition. When in Order 1000 and 1000A, FERC consistently said state laws are over there, we're over here looking at process. And I would commend to you paragraphs of 1000A paragraph 190 and 191, 190 particularly, where FERC said, we recognize that even though our process picks the more efficient or cost-effective project, it may not ultimately be constructed if the developer does not secure necessary approvals from the relevant state regulators.
So what's the point of going through this elaborate selection process, as FERC asks, if your company is disqualified by state law from the get-go?
So that's one of the things they asserted, is that we would be disqualified from the get-go. And as Judge Easterbrook noted, there are litigation about a lot of things. We don't believe we're excluded anywhere in MISO, and we towed the commission that. And so there was an argument that there was this waste of time. And in fact, FERC in the first, in the
But you agree, don't you, you can't build local projects. That is, you can't build projects that are completely within the state. Isn't that right?
Completely within a single retail distribution service territory.
Each of the four states. Because each of the four states is a local area.
So what FERC said is it in its in the second order, paragraph 150, that it found compelling those arguments about the waste of time, and said the potentials for inefficiencies and delay. And in light of these arguments, they allowed MISO to keep this provision that says MISO will decide what state law says. But then on the rehearing order, after we completely debunked that in our rehearing request, the commission came back and said, oh yeah, we said we were relying on that, but what we really meant is this doesn't create a state right of first refusal, or this doesn't create a federal right of first refusal.
Right.
And in fact, it does. It creates a federal right of first refusal because it's MISO, which is a federally created entity through tariffs, MISO deciding what state law means. It's not MISO simply applying state law after the fact. And MISO knows how to do that because there's actually a provision in their tariff, and that's section 5, and it's JA 1422-23 on designation to construct.
Well, you can challenge state law, can't you?
What's that? Yes, we can challenge state law. But the problem with this is MISO is deciding what state law is, and if we go to challenge MISO's decision, it goes to FERC, who's already said, we have no jurisdiction over construction and siting. It goes to FERC to decide what state law is about construction and siting. And what we've said consistently
is, if I got this right, you want to be able to take every one of these competitive decisions about who gets to construct one of these projects, and if you're unhappy with the result, take it to FERC?
No, that's the way the process works. It's not our intention, if the process is geared correctly, to take any of the results.
No. But your position is that specific construction choices can be appealed to FERC?
No. What we're saying is they shouldn't be, but the way MISO set they will be.
Can you? If you,
the way MISO has set it up, yes.
That's where
it would go, and that's inappropriate. What we say is it should be at the state.
Look, if MISO says to you, you can't build something because it violates the right of first refusal created by state law, if you think they're misinterpreting state law, you can sue MISO and have a court decide what the state law is.
We could, and then we get into a bunch of preemption arguments of whether it's preempted because it's a FERC tariff that said that MISO could decide that. And if we go to FERC, then FERC's deciding the state law issue.
I'm not talking about going to FERC. I'm talking about suing MISO in a court.
We could. And we could also take on, as Chairman Bay said, he thinks all of these are unconstitutional. We could take on all the state right of first refusals because, as noted in our brief, most of them came up as a result of Order 1000, and specifically as a way to get around Order 1000.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Engelman. Ms. Pacella?
Good morning, Your Honors. I think I'll start with State Roper because that's where the argument just ended. Let me say first, as the Commission explained, that this provision in the tariff doesn't create a federal right of first refusal. It simply allows MISO to recognize that if there is a state ROFR,
That a state will, what?
State right of first refusal, excuse Thank me, you. Your Honor. State okay. right of first refusal, that they are allowed to consider the fact that only the incumbent will be permitted to build before they spend the time and effort to send out bids for developer solicitations. That's all that it does. And so the commission determined it wouldn't be appropriate to prohibit them from recognizing state rights of first refusal.
What about Mr. Engelman's example of a facility that crosses state lines?
That's the Entergy issue, Your Honor, and I'm happy to turn to that. Let me explain the commission's holding there. The commission held that the Entergy operating companies constitute a single transmission provider for purposes of Order 1000 compliance, and that's fully consistent with the history. It simply continues the company's historic practice. For more than 50 years, the Entergy operating companies have operated as one single transmission provider with one single open access transmission tariff at a transmission
rate. Seems odd, though, to call a four-state area a local area.
It's just a large company, Your Honor, and that's all. And the definition.
About the four states.
Well, but
how can that be a local area?
The definition under Order 1000 of local transmission facility is at JA 53, paragraph 63 is Order 1000, and also at...
I'm not interested in where it's at.
Okay, well, the definition
is...
What's
the sense of it?
Sure. The definition
is... Can the whole
is,
United States be designated a local area?
Well, no, obviously that couldn't happen because that would defeat the purpose of Order 1000. And what the commission said here
well,
is we
have
one...
Well, the United States into four state chunks, so you have
Order,
12 and a half
Order 1000, Your Honor,
local
is,
areas.
Order 1000, Your Honor, is a rulemaking in which the commission gave a definition of local transmission facility, which is that if it's located within the geographical boundaries of a transmission provider's retail distribution territory, if it has one, otherwise it's footprint. This is one transmission provider. They have been one transmission, regardless of how large they are or how many theoretical sub-companies there are, it has been transacting for decades as one transmission provider with one tariff that provides access to the entire Entergy operating system at one rate for as if it's one company. And all it's doing is saying, you've been doing that all along,
so
you're still
one
company.
So any electrical company could do that, and then its area, however sprawling, would be a local area, and the right of first refusal, if recognized by states, would be applicable. And
this is a very specific circumstance of an extended historical practice. Effectively, they're one company.
So
yes,
let's talk about it. Are they responsible for one another's debts, the retail operating companies?
That's not in the record, Your Honor. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be relevant to knowing whether they really operate as one company? I mean, presumably, they're set up as four different state-based utilities for a reason.
The commission's determination was explicitly limited to four Order 1000 compliance purposes. So when the commission, for the definition again, is when you have a public utility transmission provider, you want to figure out whether what their territory is local, you look at whether it's one public utility transmission divider. Petitioner keeps talking about...
What does that mean? Commonwealth Edison is one company and it provides electricity in Illinois, Wisconsin, I think...
Right.
Some in Indiana.
Typically, companies have subparts that act separately. This company, Your Honor, is completely different other than like Duke, for example.
Is that what you think the state regulatory authorities see them as, all one company?
No, legally, for legal purposes of, you know,
and
their
local rate making and everything else.
Local
right?
rate making, they mm-hmm. are considered at the FERC level. For rate making, they are considered one company, and that has been for decades.
For
I don't know if that, and again, that's a different jurisdictional system, Your Honor. But at FERC level, they have one rate. They've had one rate.
So what? Why does FERC care about this?
Because of its definition of...
No, not because of the definition.
Sure, it has a rulemaking, Your Honor, and the commission is determining...
Why does FERC... FERC doesn't like the right of first refusal at the federal level. Now, when you're talking about a four-state complex and you allow right of first refusal there, that's a very large qualification of FERC's overall policy. Well, so the question is, why?
Well, I think the commission didn't view it as a qualification of its policy because It set a definition in its rulemaking. This proceeding is just about complying with the rulemaking.
Reason.
The reason
not
is that
it what it says.
What was before,
but a practical reason. Let me finish. If they don't like rights of first refusal, but they, you know, think it's okay in some local area, something like that. Nevertheless, why do they, when they're dealing with a large area, four states, why do they decide right of first refusal is fine? What's the sense of it?
Because it's one transmission provider.
Why does that make a difference?
Because this is a compliance proceeding, Your Honor, that follows from Order 1000. And
why does it make a difference that it's one service provider?
Because that's the definition. I know that's a
frustrating
answer.
That's not a reason. A definition is not a reason.
Well, now, it's a rulemaking.
Let me finish. Now, maybe it's senseless. I would like to think that when FERC does something, there is a reason which could be explained to ordinary people, right? It doesn't depend on the gibberish in these rules and regulations, but there's a reason.
The reason is, Your Honor, that the Commission decided it carved out local transmission facilities in Order 1000. It carved out local transmission because, again,
why?
As has been explained, because it was a balancing. There's
a balancing of what?
A balancing of what the Commission's focus was here was federal rights of first refusal, but it's carved out local transmission.
Why did it carve out a four-state area?
It didn't carve out a four-state area, Your Honor. It carved out local transmission facilities. This particular circumstance maybe is a four-state area. I don't know. That's not in the record anywhere that I know it's a four-state area. I'll concede maybe it's a four-state area. I don't know.
You don't know it's four states?
It's multiple. I know how many companies it is. It's multiple companies that really are one transmission provider for purposes of FERC jurisdiction.
So what?
Because the definition what has been affirmed in order.
You don't think in practical terms.
Sure.
You're not willing to give me a reason why what the Commission is doing makes some sort of practical sense.
The Commission
now maybe it doesn't make any practical sense. That's fine.
The Commission.
That would be the answer to my question.
The Commission determined in Order 1000, which has been affirmed by the D.C. Circuit, that a transmission facility
is local.
But you cannot
give me a reason for this treatment of the four-state area.
Your Honor, the reason is that they're one single transmission provider, and that
satisfies
the definition.
That is not a reason.
Well, but
don't
it
you
is.
Understand? That's not a reason.
FERC saw it as a reason because it set the
why
rule.
Why did it think it a reason?
Because it exempted out
but
from
the. But why does it do that?
Because it made a determination which has
but
already
why
been.
Why did it make that determination?
Well, let me say
is
this.
Is there
Your
a
Honor.
Mental process or is this totally arbitrary?
But I'm not defending that. I understand it's frustrating to you, Your Honor, but that's not before Your Honor today. What's before Your
I
Honor today is whether this.
You.
Filing complied with Order 1000, which has already been judicially affirmed. That cannot be challenged before. I don't have a justification for that because that wasn't challenged in Order 1000, and it's not challenged appropriately here. The issue for the court here is whether the Commission was right in finding that considering Entergy in accordance with its decades-long historic practice of providing service as a single transmission provider satisfies the definition provided in Order 1000, which has been affirmed, that if you're one transmission provider, your retail distribution territory, which for the Entergy companies is the entire Entergy companies' combined retail distribution territories. The Commission's just treating them exactly the same as they've been treated for decades. And
this is history.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
No reasoning.
It's practical.
Just history.
Well, no, it's one.
You've given me no reason.
Your Honor, it's one transmission.
That's not a reason.
Your Honor, at JA, in the
You're
second
not
rehearing
reasoning.
Order, here's the reason, Your Honor. In the second rehearing order, JA 2777, note 175, the Commission points out they have provided transmission service as a single transmission provider under a single tariff on for the entire Entergy transmission system footprint, which was made up of all of the operating companies' combined retail distribution territories. And that's why they're it's a local facility.
Counsel, could I ask you about the cost allocation methods? Petitioners are arguing that FERC is just being inconsistent in saying that cost estimates for these projects are not sufficiently reliable to give them more weight in selecting the constructors. Yet the cost estimates do seem to be treated as sufficiently reliable for purposes of project planning and comparisons and priorities at the MISO planning level.
Sure.
Could you explain that?
That's not accurate. What happens is it's a criteria, just as it's a portion of the criteria in determining which developer you're going to select to build a selected facility. There are criteria that the project proposal criteria, which are listed at JA 1784, paragraph 275, that includes cost estimates, implementation capabilities, operations and maintenance capabilities, and it's the same thing for the qualification to propose a project. It's just when you're deciding, there's a whole bunch of criteria. Cost is a portion of that, and so it's only a piece of it at the front end, and they don't object to that, interestingly. When there's no objection to the proposal criteria, project proposal criteria, and only a portion of that is costs, costs are unreliable throughout the whole process until you have all...
Including the planning and selection of projects.
Of course. And that's why you have to, as MISO explained, you have to have multiple criteria to make a determination based on. And if you look at the developer selection criteria, I mean, on their face... In criteria 2, project implementation, and criteria 3, operations and maintenance, I mean, they're on their face related to whether you can actually appropriately implement a project. Project management, evaluating a site, getting land, procuring materials, constructing the facility, for example, and the same thing with operations and maintenance. How you deal with outage responses, how you deal with emergency repair and testing, spare parts, spare parts are a real thing. MISO wants to know, and the commission found just and reasonable to know, do you have spare parts if something breaks down? What kind of agreements do you have to share spare parts with someone else in case you don't have them in stock? That's all, of course, very important to reliability, and so it's not true that costs are more important. And let me say...
So does Entergy have a monopoly of building transmission facilities in the four-state area?
Based on the commission's determination, if...
Yes or no?
What the commission determined... Well,
yes
no.
Or no?
They don't have a... The holding is that there's still a right of first refusal. So if they choose
That's
to build...
That's a monopoly.
Well, yeah, but they don't...
Exactly. It's a monopoly.
Right. We would assume, of course, that someone will not waive their right of first
refusal. And that's a good thing for consumers.
It's not. The issue isn't whether it's a good thing for consumers.
Why not?
Well, and the commission, because what the commission did in Order 1000 was balance. The commission struck a balance, just like with the state right of first refusal thing.
What's the balance between?
The commission said we're not getting rid of everything in the whole world here.
What's the balance? I don't hear a balance there. The balance is
between just getting rid of all rights of first refusal and taking steps to get rid of some rights of first refusal.
And why is that a good idea?
Again, that was defended in Order 1000, not here, Your Honor, and so I'm not really prepared to answer that question today. I defended Order 1000, and that day I would have been prepared to answer that question. That's just not before the court. It's not. The commission made the determination that it was doing this balancing in Order 1000, and that's been affirmed. And as the South Carolina said, the commission took great pains to avoid intrusion on traditional role of states. The commission is simply, it made local facilities a separate thing because of concerns the commission had in Order 1000. The commission is not required to take every step.
It would be nice to have a reason, but I guess there isn't any.
Well, there was probably a reason in Order 1000, and I'm sorry that I'm not more prepared to answer that today because it really isn't a matter for this court.
Okay.
I think I'm out of time.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ms. Pacella. So, Mr. Engelman, another minute? We are running low on time.
Yes, I'll be very brief. I want to touch quickly on the state right of first refusal issue and whether or not what MISO is trying to do is a state right of first refusal. I just want to commend to your reading JA 1975, which is the MISO TO's request for rehearing on the state right of first refusal issue. And what the MISO TO's said is that the new language doesn't create any new federal right of first refusal, that does not already exist in the MISO documents. So what the MISO TOs are saying is this provision was put in here to replace, and they specifically cite to paragraph section 3.3 of the transmission owner's agreement, which was the right of first refusal that they argued about in the prior case. And they say this simply replaces that. On the issue of the evaluation criteria, Ms. Bissell said on its face that these relate to rates. That's not accurate. And again, I want to commend to you the MISO's answer when they answered about why these criteria were what they were. First of all, they said it all had to do with the fact that that the costs were not binding, and so the costs were uncertain. So they're going to look at these non-cost factors. But they also said in JA 2266, they made it very clear that myopically focusing on an unreliable bid cost to the detriment of the developer sufficiently qualified. So they're treating these as a second bite at the qualification apple, and that's inappropriate.
Why?
The qualification criteria.
Is qualification binary, just yes or no, or are there degrees?
There are not degrees. FERC said that you have to be technically and financially qualified. From our perspective, once you're technically and financially qualified, that was Order 1000, we didn't fight that. Once you're technically and financially qualified, there are not degrees unless they affect ratepayers. So there may be degrees as it affects ratepayers, but there are not degrees to say you're more qualified or less qualified. And in our rehearing request, we extensively went through how these criteria wouldn't measure that anyway, because there's no connection to rates on the criteria.
Are you challenging Order 1000? Ms. Bissella said that Order 1000 confirmed that right of first refusal would be retained by local, retained under state law for local companies, and therefore that there's no issue for us because it's been resolved by the commission. You're not challenging Order 1000.
We are absolutely not challenging Order 1000. In fact, interestingly enough, Ms. Bissella and I sat at the same table on the appeal of Order 1000. We supported Order 1000 then. We support it now. We think that a properly applied, it can do what the commission wanted.
Over what is a local area? Is that?
It's a dispute about actually applying Order 1000. And yes, they had very specific definitions in Order 1000 as to what a local area was.
Well, she says it's a local area is where there's a single transmission facility.
A single transmission provider. That's right. What she says. Interestingly enough, MISO has a single transmission rate. Is that a footprint? Is that the argument? Because that is directly contrary to Order 1000. In paragraph 420 of 1000A, they specifically said what a footprint was, and it's not Entergy.
Okay, well, thank you very much to
both
counsel.